Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Pounding Blitz SEC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, we're going to dive into week number 9 in the SEC. Huge games on tap, but we'll take a look back. Dynamic performances, great games, and we'll start in the battle in Austin. Top-ranked Texas squaring off against the Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia entered that ballgame as a 4.5-point dog. They strike the outright victory 30-15. This game was won in the trenches, and the Bulldogs showed why they're one of the best teams in FBS.
Yeah, they were dominant. You know, this had the feel of a championship team. Everybody's talked about Georgia, Texas, maybe Ohio, throw it into Ohio State and Oregon. These were championship caliber teams. But I've always said that to be a champion, you got to have a great defense, a strong running attack, and a veteran quarterback. And when you look at that game, the great defense, I mean, Texas didn't have 29 yards rushing, 15 points, 7 sacks. They didn't have the kind of defense. I mean, Georgia had the kind of defense that wins the game like that. Unbelievable. And running attack, Texas has 29 yards, 29 yards rushing. And Texas didn't have it a little over 100. But Travis Etienne had 87, more than the entire Texas team. And then you take the third one, the veteran quarterback. They both have veteran quarterbacks. Neither of them played their best game. But when it came to the fourth quarter, Carson Beck led his team down the field for the score, and Quinn Ewers did not make anything happen in his last attempt. And so by a close margin, you see why Georgia, they had the championship-caliber defense, running attack, and a veteran quarterback that was there at the end of the game.
Georgia had the 23-0 halftime lead over Texas. I thought that Quinn Ewers being a pocket passer, that would allow the Georgia defense to at least get quarterback pressures. Remember, Jalen Milroe, a more mobile quarterback, gave them fits when they lost the matchup to Alabama and in Tuscaloosa. This was a different situation. And to your point, Texas only 29 yards on the ground, 1.1 yards yes. per carry. That's not going to get it done. Texas was in long third downs from start to finish, even though they made it a game in the second half. The Georgia offensive line wore down the front seven, and it was lights out. When you look at Texas big picture, Coach, do you still feel they're one of the most dominant teams in the country? I know they got the victory over Michigan, but we saw Michigan lose to Illinois this past Saturday. Not the same national championship caliber team that we saw. Do you feel Texas is still one of the best teams in the nation?
But, you know, the old saying, hold your comments and count to 100. Remember after the Georgia-Alabama game, what all our thoughts were about Georgia and what all our thoughts were about Alabama. The truth being told, these two teams have the best talent in the country, along with a couple other schools. They have so much talent. And Texas can have the same game that Georgia had against Alabama and still come back. I think both these teams have the quality to come out there and play in postseason play, and I wouldn't doubt that these teams didn't play each other again in the conference playoffs. I mean, in the championship playoffs.
When you look at Carson Beck, Coach, 23 of 41, 175 through the air, no touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Any concern about Beck moving forward for the Bulldogs?
Well, you know, he's had the interception problem this year more than he's ever had. On one hand, it's kind of, you know, he takes chances. He's risks, but he never gives up on himself, because you watch him. Every time he has those happen early, he comes back in the second half, puts them behind him, and focuses on winning football. I think he's got the confidence. Sometimes he's kind of the gunslinger. He throws that ball in there when he shouldn't. But he's got great ability to forget that and move ahead. And when you got to play well, like in the fourth quarter, I think he led like an 87-yard drive, and Ewers came back and didn't make his drives work. And that's what made him allowed him to help them win the football game, his ability to forget about the interceptions and come back. He's won too many games. They've won too many games with him for me to feel like he can't take them to a championship.
And Texas will square off with Vanderbilt. We'll break down that a little bit later in the show. We'll turn our attention as well to the battle in Knoxville. Alabama had won 16 of the last 17 meetings against the Volunteers, had won last year. They held a 7-0 halftime lead, but allowed Tennessee to score 24 points in the second half. And Kalen DeBoer and Alabama drops the game coach 24-17. It's Alabama's second loss in the regular season. A lot of pressure on Alabama to respond and potentially get back into the college football playoff picture. Give me your thoughts about that performance last Saturday in Neyland Stadium.
Well, it just looks to me like two teams moving in different directions. Tennessee so much needed a quarterback that could hit the vertical pass, could throw the deep ball. In the second half, Nico hit a 50-plus yard deep bomb. He threw a 21-yard fade to the end zone for another touchdown. He kind of found himself, and because he did, now Tennessee can mix that run back in with a pass. Did a great job of finding them and putting them in one direction. Alabama, on the other hand, you think with all, they were 113th in the nation in most penalties. They were almost last. There's only 137 teams. They had 15 penalties for 115 yards. They're playing six of their 13 third downs were played behind the chains, and you can't win football games playing behind the chains. They're not executing, but most of all, when they do execute, the penalties are hurting them so much, they're not able to overcome them.
They were in long third down situations. Offense was out of sync. But the biggest factor and takeaway for me, Coach, is that Alabama only rushed for 2.2 yards per carry, while on the flip side, Tennessee pounds the rock for 214 yards on the ground, 5 yards per rush. That's really what wore down Alabama's defense in the second half. That was a dominant offensive effort from an offensive line perspective by Tennessee. Once they got the lead late in the third quarter, they never looked back.
Yeah, and again, remember, again, once you get the defense nervous about being hit over top, they'll play on their heels a little bit more, and that's when you saw the running game just start to pound them and pound them and pound them. With Tennessee more than maybe any other team I've watched this year, they need to mix the deep vertical ball with the running attack, and you see how many yards they got against Alabama. Now, Alabama has got to find a way to fix that penalty problem. They cannot overcome the execution. They had a chance to win the game. It was 4th-and-7 with about 2.5 minutes left. And they got a chance to win the game with a touchdown, and they have a personal foul, unsportsmanlike conduct, moved it back to 4th-and-22, and of course, they picked up about 10 yards and had to turn the ball back over. Again, you can't overcome execution. You can't overcome things when you have penalties like that.
Coach, Alabama will square off against Missouri this coming Saturday. The most impressive game, I think, from an offense and defensive perspective in the conference came in Fayetteville. LSU was on the road. They were laying 2.5 points against Arkansas. Arkansas, a very good team. The last two meetings were decided in the series by a total of 6 points. LSU starts fast. They dominate 34-10. I was really impressed with that LSU defense.
I tell you, LSU is now coming into their own. And we talked about, they were kind of my sleeper team. They're playing better and better. And then against Arkansas, they put it all together. That's an old rivalry. And in Fayetteville, in Arkansas, that's a tough place for LSU to win ball games. They dominated the entire game. Nussmeier had a great performance. And now they're really rolling along, and they're getting ready to get into one of the biggest games of the season.
Yeah, they are. And Whit Weeks is a dynamic performer for that team. He leads the team in total tackles. He had 5 tackles, 7 assists in that matchup. He's always around the football, an emotional leader. Yeah. And we talked about it. 22 sacks, Coach, over the last 5 weeks. Another 3 against Taylen Green in Arkansas. That travels well. They're going into a difficult road environment. But Blake Baker has been a great addition to that LSU staff.
Yeah, you know, when they lost Terrell Perkins, we thought that would hurt them. They seem to be playing more like a team. Everybody stepped up their play. Well, Weeks has done an incredible job of being a dominant player, but the two question marks I think everybody had about LSU is Nussmeier going to come through, and could Blake be the coordinator to change that defense? Both of those things have come true. We'll find out if it's totally true this week, like you said, against Texas A&M.
Yeah, they have a battle with Texas A&M and Mike Elko. Both teams are undefeated in the conference. Coach and I will break down that game a little bit later in the show. When we return in the SEC, we'll dive into the top games this coming Saturday. Missouri and Alabama headed off. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the Bowden Blitz SEC edition, we'll dive right into that game in Tuscaloosa. Top 25 battle between Missouri and Alabama. Missouri sitting at 6-1 overall in this matchup. Last week against Auburn, they trailed 17-3 and rallied to win that ballgame 21-17. But it was a costly win. Brady Cook, their starting quarterback, got knocked out of that ballgame. He will not play in this matchup, along with starting running back Nate Noel. The line opened up, Coach, at 13.5. It's now ballooned with the key injuries up to 16.5. Alabama sitting at 5-2. How do you see this game playing out?
Well, I mean, first of all, let me say that's a big minus for Missouri. They lost Cook and then the running back Noel. I mean, that's a big loss if those guys can't play. But Alabama's got their back to the wall. I know a lot of people in Alabama. I coached at three different universities in Alabama. They are giving that head coach heck for an undisciplined team, can't execute. That's what the players hear every day in Tuscaloosa. But I think will have pride. And I think they'll play at an unbelievable atmosphere, because that atmosphere is huge. And they're not Auburn. They're better than Auburn. Even if they're not playing that well, I believe they're better than Auburn. And I think their backs are to the wall, and they'll play the kind of game they have to play to beat Missouri at home.
Now, when you look at Missouri, they're not going to just basically a freshman. They are going to an experienced quarterback in Drew Pine that did play at Notre Dame and Arizona State, respectively. He stepped in, completed 10 of 21 passes, and Marcus Carroll did take up the load for Nate Noel. How important is it for Eli Drinkwitz to at least have an experienced quarterback heading into this battle, as opposed to a freshman or a redshirt freshman with no big game experience?
Well, you made a good point, but remember, Cook hurt his ankle. They took him, I think, by ambulance or something to the hospital, had an x-ray. Right. They brought him back so he could get in that football game. If this other guy could handle it better, I don't know if they'd try to get him back for that football game, but they got him back, and I think he finished up the game after having his ankle checked. So, again, I think that Cook gives them the best chance to play well against Alabama, and I'm not so sure I can take Alabama to beat the line, but I do like Alabama to win because they're at home, and they're back to the wall, and, again, they have better talent on the field if they'll just cut the penalties out and execute a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when I look at the spread perspective, I do lean to Missouri just because I'm not sold on Alabama in terms of continuity and just consistency right now. The defense giving up a ton of yards, especially on the ground. They might not have to do a whole lot, Missouri, in regards to the passing attack. They might just have to run it, keep it into the fourth quarter, and put the pressure back on Jalen Milroe. If, in fact, Kalen DeBoer does lose this game and has three regular season losses before the end of October, pressure there? You know what it's like to coach in Alabama, in the state. A lot of pressure right now on the program.
It's hard to believe the pressure. Of course, when you coach at Auburn or Alabama in the state of Alabama, because I was in Auburn for 7 years, and I coached at Sanford and North Alabama, and I grew up a lot of my youth there, people there live and die college football 12 months out of the year. And about two-thirds of them are Alabama fans, and they've had Bear Bryant. They've had Nick Saban. You have no time to learn on the job. But I said this before the season. The big question at Alabama is not Milroe, and if he can lead the team, it's can the head coach handle the pressure? Now, I believe that was the right head coach for the job, but he's going to have to handle some pressure now because he's finding out what pressure is all about. But remember, Nick Saban's first year, I believe he had a losing season his first year, and they weren't too happy with that. But he builds with his own people, his own chemistry. I think Nick Saban spoke in Birmingham this past week at the quarterback club. He said, give the guy time. He's got to get his culture, his philosophy in. They don't always meld together with two different people. That was very kind of Nick, but Nick can see what I see. They're right now, they're undisciplined. They're one of the, I think they went to 128th in the country in penalties. They've got to solve that to play Alabama football.
We'll see how that game plays out. I believe it's a 4 o'clock kick in Tuscaloosa. The big one under the lights in Texas A&M, Kyle Field should have 110,000 fans. It's the two undefeated teams in the conference. You got LSU and Texas A&M. A&M right now, Coach, 2.5-point home favorites. They've won the last three meetings in College Station in the series. They won those games by an average margin of victory of 10 points per game. They got the win last week against Mississippi State, 41-31. Connor Wegman struggled with two interceptions. It's back-to-back road games for LSU. Typically, this would be a roadblock for the Tigers, but I still feel they're the most complete team. I think LSU strikes the upset.
Oh, I think so, too. You know, these two teams – the team that wins will be the only undefeated team in the SEC sitting alone at the top of the SEC. And I guarantee it, those coaches are pounding that into the heads of both of these football teams. They both have outstanding defenses, outstanding offensive lines, and they like to run the football. Because of that, I think those running games offset each other. They equalize each other, and it falls back on which quarterback you can depend on to make the critical plays. And when you look at the way Wegman played last week, he was inconsistent. He had a great game against Missouri, then an average game last week. Nussmeier, I think, will be the difference in the two people that are going to come down to, after the running games kind of neutralize, which quarterback is going to pull it out and have the best day. I think that's going to be Nussmeier, and I think it's got to be LSU.
I agree as well. And the biggest thing I think when you look at LSU's offense right now, they're starting to come into form. Mason Taylor, one of the best tight ends in college football. We saw Daniels come back. Kyren Lacy, he has multiple weapons. Caden Dorm with three rushing touchdowns on the ground. You have the veteran in Josh Williams. And Nussmeier looks like the more confident quarterback. On the flip side for Texas A&M, they're no joke. They're averaging 31 points per game and giving up 17 points to opposing offenses. But when you look at their defense, their secondary allowed three passing touchdowns by an average offense in Mississippi State. To me, that's the difference.
Yeah, I think so too, but I just don't know that Texas A&M can put it all together. They have enough weapons to handle LSU, and I do believe that will be the difference in the football game.
How hard, Coach, is it back-to-back road games? It was an emotional rivalry game, right? LSU, Arkansas, and now you get another one back-to-back. How quick is it? Can you get the kids up in back-to-back weeks like that?
I mean, I've been a head coach 28 years, and if we're winning, I don't care if we're on the road or at home. We feel good. What was it? Deion Sanders says, our guys feel cool when they're on the road. You just don't have as many worries. Your teams are close together. They get to dress up nice. It's like a show. And so if I'm winning, I don't care if I'm playing home or away.
When Coach and I return, we'll break down the battle in Nashville, Texas. Vanderbilt coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the Bowden Blitz SEC edition, Coach and I are breaking down the huge matchups in week number 9. We're going to turn our attention quickly to Texas and Vanderbilt, Coach. When you look at this ball game, Texas right now, one loss overall, one loss in the conference. They're trying to get back into the mix. They get beaten down at home on a national stage. They go on the road. They're laying a huge number against Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt. We knew that Vanderbilt knocked off Alabama. This potentially could be the biggest game in Nashville over the past decade. How do you see this game playing out?
Well, they've only got one more goalpost to tear down, that's for sure, because they had a pretty big one when they beat Alabama earlier in the season. But this one ends up being kind of the same thing. Great talent versus a scheme. And this is a scheme with Diego Pavia, who had this offense. He ran this offense at New Mexico. He's a veteran in the style. And Joe, the difference in the triple option at Vanderbilt and now at Army and Navy, they're throwing the ball more often. They're throwing the ball and getting huge plays. And so the key for Vandy is to stay on offense, to drive the ball and slow down the clock so that they can take a lot and then hope Texas fumbles once or throws an interception or gets held to a field goal. And all of a sudden you're in the second quarter and you're only down by three. And I think Vandy, that's been their plan all year. They do a great job of controlling the football, mixing just enough pass in with the run. And they run that running game, that offense masterfully. And they picked up some pretty good players with the new coach who came in.
Yeah, Clark Lee has done a fantastic job. And we've talked about, you know, getting players that fit his type of scheme. The quarterback, right, Diego Pavia, has been a significant upgrade to what they had in Anthony Wright and A.J. Swan. Both of those players transferred out. Wright at Northwestern and Swan now backing up Nussmeier and LSU. They're 5-2, coach. If somehow, some way, they strike the upset, any shot? They do play LSU down the stretch. Any shot that Vanderbilt could be an at-loss team?
I'd count on Army or Navy, maybe, but there's a chance they could get on up in there and get in the hunt. And a lot of football has to be played to get to some of these teams that have two losses and are ranked so low for them to move up. A lot of people would have to lose ahead of them. But the point, I think, at Vandy, when you take over that program, let's have a winning season. Let's get to a bowl game. Let's get partway there this year. I think they're going to be very pleased if they get partway there. I just don't think they're going to make their move this week against Texas. Texas has two things. They watched Alabama get whipped against Vandy, and they've got their daggum backs against the wall because they lost to Georgia. So they had a lot of focus at practice this week.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a game where if you're Texas, you want to prove that last week was an aberration. Right. That was the outlier. You want to showcase that you're a top five team. You start fast and put the pressure on Diego Pavia to match you score for score. The speed, I think, of Texas will be a factor. I think the wide receivers can challenge them over the top. And I believe Texas's front seven can contain Vanderbilt's offense enough to force turnovers as well. So we'll see how that game plays out. Just big picture, I'll give you the remaining schedule for Vanderbilt. They face off this week against Texas, Auburn, right, South Carolina. Then they end it with LSU and Tennessee. There is the potential. Buy the lottery ticket now, maybe, if you think that Vanderbilt's going to strike the upset over Texas. Coach and I both lean to the Texas Longhorns in this matchup. I think they dominate and win comfortably by 24 points or more in this ball game. One quick thought about the LSU game, coach. I talked about their offensive line. Haven't allowed a sack all year long. That's a huge asset to have going on the road against a very active and athletic front seven in Texas A&M.
You know, everybody talks about the offensive line. What a great running attack. What a great running attack. But with having two NFL caliber tackles, think to what that does to a great rush team, a great pass rush team. You got two great tackles, and you can handle the edge on either side. They can't take one great pass rusher and putting one side as opposed to the other. That gives Nussmeier so much protection. I think that's a huge factor to have the offensive line, especially the tackles that LSU has to protect their quarterback. Because you give Nussmeier a chance to throw it, he can make every throw, and that's what the NFL scouts tell me.
Yeah, I agree as well. The biggest thing, too, is that he reminds me a little bit of Brett Favre, right? You know, the gunslinger where he makes mistakes. You got to take the high highs and the low lows. But at the end of the day, he puts his team in a position to win ball games. And again, I think if this game gets over the total, that favors LSU. Under the total, then Texas A&M legitimately has a shot to potentially knock out LSU and remain undefeated.
Both coaches do a great job with these type of games. Elko always wins more at the end of the game. Brian Kelly in his third year is hard to beat.
Over 700 winning percentage for Brian Kelly on the road. For Coach Bowden, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll see you next week on the Bowden Blitz.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.